Thank you, Mr. Klett. Appreciate that last song. I think it will dovetail right very well with my message today. Good afternoon, brethren. Happy Sabbath to each and every one. I want to welcome our guests with us today. Glad you're here with us. Want to give a shout out to those that might be on the phone hookup. Hope things are connecting well. Did have one additional announcement that, remember, tonight we change back to whatever that time is. And be sure to set your alarm at 2 o'clock and go ahead and change your clock back, fall back 1 hour. We lead busy lives, packed with various errands and appointments. Therefore, what do we have to do? We have to develop a plan to get to our destinations, don't we? Well, we pre-plan our route, estimate the approximate time we need to travel to get to our destination. Next, we must determine the time of departure in order to get to that our location on time. We definitely want to do that. So we've done that. We've got it all figured out. So far, so good. Departure time arrives. Well, we get in our vehicle, and we're on our way. Everything seems to be running fine and in good order, just as we had planned. But as we're driving our route, all of a sudden, something unexpectedly appears. Right before our eyes, we are confronted by a sign that reads, "Detour ahead." I see a lot of heads shaking, yes. Our minds race. Our stomachs react. Hold on, we hadn't planned on that, had we? Consequently, our schedule has been thrown into disarray. We're now compelled to deal with the detour, altering our original route in order to ensure our arrival at our destination. As I've seen the reactions, has that ever happened to you? I think we may have different circumstances in life, but one thing we have in common, we all experience trials. We all experience detours. Trials are the bumps and the roadblocks in our otherwise smooth life's journey. Life's detours can be stressful and difficult. They sidetrack us. Issues such as our health, that of our mate or our family members, our relationships, the many relationships that we have. Sometimes we have detours with those. Our finances, our employment. All these are detours on our journey through life. You know, it seems that just about the time that our lives seem to be running smoothly and orderly, with a plan, with a direction, with a goal, suddenly there's a problem. There's a detour. I think we can all agree that this particular year of 2020 is a prime example of some major and unexpected roadblocks and detours that we've experienced. It seems no one is exempt from life's detours, which is the title and the focus of my message today, life's detours. Well, none of us look forward to having trials in our lives. Rather, we seek and pray to avoid them, don't we? Detours complicate our lives. And when they do arise, we ask, why me? Why now? This is definitely not where I wanted to go. Yet life's detours are inherent in our life's journey. They're part of our life. Christ plainly forewarned us of that fact in this life, that we would experience challenges, trials, tribulations. Detours would be a part of our life's journey. That word tribulation, which I reference from John 16:33, is in the Strong's Greek concordance, 2347. It means afflicted, anguish, burden, persecution, trouble. It comes from the root word meaning pressure. And I think it's an apt description of how we feel when we experience trials. And because of that, we physical, temporary human beings tend to consider these detours or trials in a negative manner, in a negative connotation. We don't want the pain, the suffering, the headaches, and the stress. In contrast, we seek instant relief and immediate escape from our trials. We want our life to travel in a straight and unimpeded line towards our destination. We don't want and we don't like detours. God, however, who possesses perfect, impeccable character, analyzes life's detours much differently. He views them as a learning process. God considers trials as an opportunity to mold us, to refine us, to become the person he wants us to be. And through this process of a detour, we gain a different and a needed perspective in life that we normally wouldn't possess if we hadn't gone down that detour. God, through detours, seeks to instill in his progeny his holy, righteous character. Through detour, God wants us to purposefully seek, trust, and rely on him. He wants to bring us successfully through those many critical and challenging situations that we experience. We are children of destiny. God has a vital and important plan and purpose for each one of us. Our journey, our high calling in Christ, is an arduous one. And as we heard some of the announcements of the prayer request, we do have an arduous journey. And, you know, we won't get there by coasting through life in a straight, unimpeded line. You know, rarely does God lead someone on a journey without taking them on a detour. And it's not usually just one detour. It's 2, it's 10, 100, or even more. We read of such a detour in the life of Abram. In Genesis 12, we witness the dispersion of the descendants of the sons of Noah. This dispersion gave rise to a variety of nations, differing in language, manners, and customs. With this dispersion and expansion came the germs of idolatry and the polytheistic religions of heathenism. To prevent moral corruption from completely sweeping the known world, God had in place a plan to form a nation for himself to be the recipient and preserver of his salvation in direct opposition to those rising kingdoms of the world. Thus, the foundation for a detour in life was laid by God in the calling and the separation of Abram from his people and his country. By special guidance, God would lead and shepherd Abram to become the father of many nations in which true salvation of the world would come. We read of Abram's detour in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you, and I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. And I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All families on the earth will be blessed through you." That was prophesied through the Messiah. From the capital city of Ur in his homeland of Mesopotamia, God would detour Abram, later named Abraham, to 17 physical locations in his life on his way to that ultimate city and homeland whose foundations are eternal, a city designed and built by God. But more importantly, throughout his journey, God led him through many very various sore trials, challenges, and lessons. For example, God told him to leave his homeland, to become a vagabond in a strange land, in an unfamiliar land. Then immediately after he arrived in this strange land, he encountered famine. So Abraham travels to Egypt, where the Egyptians seized his lovely wife, Sarai, and brought her to Pharaoh. Later in his life, Abraham, having his relatives captured, would face incredible odds in battling with the confederated group of kings in that area, if you recall that. Another bump in the road, you might say. Abraham, not being able to have children with Sarah, Abraham capitulated to his wife's suggestion to marry his wife's handmaiden, Hagar, to produce his progeny, which was in direct opposition to God's direction. And this would cause terrible repercussions as his life went on. After Isaac was born, Sarah tells Abram to send Hagar and Ishmael, Hagar's son, away. And this was a very difficult test, you know, for Abraham, however, he acquiesced to Sarah's request. And through Ishmael and though Ishmael and Hagar returned, family dynamics were very strained. And in one of his greatest tests and detour, God tells Abraham to sacrifice his son of promise, Isaac, upon the altar. And I've listed a number of all his trials and detours in life. And those aren't all that were chronicled in God's word. However, I think we get the point. It wasn't easy. Detours aren't easy. But through all these detours, a faithful God would successfully bring Abraham to his intended destination and promise. As we read in Genesis 26, verse 4 and 5. Genesis 26, verse 4 and 5. "And I will make you, your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, my laws." Another important detour is chronicled in Exodus 13. It involves the nation of the children of Israel as they left Egypt. God was going to take them on a detour journey on their way towards the promised land. Under the section, The Way of the Wilderness, we read in Exodus 13, verses 17 and 18. Exodus 13, 17 and 18. When Pharaoh let the people go, he did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although it was near. For God said, lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to it, return to Egypt. But God led the people around by the way of the wilderness towards the Red Sea. And the Lord went before them, and the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. There were two ways from Egypt to Canaan. One was the shortcut from the north of Egypt to the south of Canaan. This would probably take about 4 or 5 days' journey. The other was much further, a roundabout way through the wilderness. And that was the way in which God chose to detour and to lead his people. You know, if it was up to the children of Israel, I'm sure they would have opted for the shorter, more direct route to the promised land. However, God detoured them to the second route, the more circuitous route. The choice of the route was God's. He was their guide, manifested by a reliable and miraculous sign, as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. God detoured and led his people. Exodus 13, verse 20 through 21, it talks about that. So they took their journey from Succoth and camped in Etham. Excuse me. At the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. Of course, God had a purpose for his detour, as we read in Exodus 14, verse 4. Exodus 14 and verse 4. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them, and I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his host. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Now this detour produced alarm and panic with the people. In verse 10 of Exodus 14, as it says, Exodus 14:10, when Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. So they were afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. I imagine being blocked by the Red Sea and the Egyptian army in hot pursuit, the people are now second-guessing God's decision and direction, thinking, hey, wait a minute, where is God leading us? What's going to happen to us? However, in Exodus 14, verses 13 and 14, God reassures his people. And Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Of course, we know what transpired. In verse 22 and 23, we read, and the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on the right hand and on the left. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them into the midst of the sea. And in verse 30 and 31, we witness the result of the detour with God's miraculous power and help. God was with them all the way. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord. They believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. For 40 years, God led his people through this detour. The record shows that at times his people were frustrated, confused, even discouraged, because the way didn't seem clear at various times. However, in the process of the detour, God imparted many important and vital lessons along the way. This lengthy detour afforded the children of Israel to be tested by God for their loyalty, for their obedience and fidelity to him. Through the detour, he wanted them to learn to trust and rely on him for their safety and for all the necessities in life. Though the vast majority of the people did not arrive at their final destination, through the process of this detour, God was laying the groundwork for these individuals to attain someday that destination in the age to come. However, it was that next generation that God would faithfully deliver. Through the process of that lengthy and arduous detour, they would develop an uncompromising trust and faith in the God of Israel, allowing them to complete their physical journey to the promised land. We read in Exodus 15:13, I'll read from the English Standard Version. This verse expresses the result of God's love and miraculous intervention for the children of Israel, where it states, "You have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them by your strength to your holy abode." He can do the same for us in whatever trial, whatever detour we are engaged in. As we heard in the last hymn prior to the message, the story of Joseph's life is one of the most impressive and compelling stories in the Bible that come to mind with regards to life's detour. Joseph, the youngest child at that time, was his father Jacob's or Israel's favorite. He was given a multicolored tartan coat, which signified a royal, exalted position. He was placed in an authoritative position over his older brothers. Well, this did not bode well with his brothers. This partiality fostered sibling rivalries and made Joseph despised by his brothers, even to the extent that they couldn't speak to him peaceably. This animosity was further inflamed with the revelation of Joseph's dream of greatness and grandeur. Joseph's life, by all accounts, was quickly becoming destined for greatness and rule. However, this meteoric rise of Joseph's life would soon be derailed with a major detour. One day, Jacob sent his son Joseph out to check on his brothers who were tending the flock in the field near Dothan. The hatred of those brothers towards Joseph had grown to such an extent that it fostered thoughts of murder. Hence, they conspired to kill him. With cooler heads prevailing, though, his brethren decided to sell him to a Midianite caravan headed for Egypt. It only took a moment. Joseph's favored and blessed life had quickly and dramatically changed. Joseph was sold into slavery. This isn't what he had planned, had it? He was taken away captive by those in the caravan who were heading towards Egypt. And little did Joseph realize that ahead of him lay many years of very severe and seemingly insurmountable trials, adversity, misfortune, hardship, suffering, sorrow. God was going to allow Joseph's life to undergo a major detour. While in Egypt, it was Joseph's diligence and God's blessing that had him elevated to a position to oversee Potiphar's formidable and wealthy household. While in his employ, Joseph resisted his master's wife's advances, only to be falsely accused of attempted rape. His life again would be detoured, placed in prison. It seemed as though his life, his dream of promise, was now being buried in the pain of life, betrayal, and disappointment. God, however, was continuing to guide and direct his life. Joseph was elevated, given charge over all that was done in the prison he was sent to. During his incarceration, he had correctly interpreted two prisoners' dreams, yet his help went unrequited by the person he helped restore to the royal court. Time continued. Finally, God would bring about and elevate Joseph to a place of power second only to Pharaoh himself. God allowed Joseph's detour to finally end. Though that detour, through that detour, God would challenge, temper, and shape Joseph for those responsibilities of rulership ahead. God had a plan for him, and it took a detour, and it took many years to bring that about. His dream of wealth, of prestige, and power would be realized. Joseph came to understand that a very capable, powerful, and faithful God would be there to help and guide him every step of the way through that long, incredible, and trying detour. He would later tell his brothers who had sojourned down to Egypt to buy grain due to the famine that was extant, beginning in Genesis 45, verse 4. Genesis 45, verse 4, we read, Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near to me." So they came near, and he says, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life." God had a plan, had an end game for Joseph and for the world. For these two years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. Verse 7, "And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. And so it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh, and the Lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout the land of Egypt." Subsequently, Joseph's father, Israel, was invited down to Egypt, where he was tearfully reunited with his beloved son, Joseph, whom he had believed for so many years was dead. His father and the rest of the family were brought down to Egypt, bequeathed with the choicest land of Goshen. The entire family would be provided for and protected. It was at this juncture in Joseph's life that he realized that the various troubles and challenges in life, all the detours he had experienced, God was fulfilling his overall plan, not just for him, but for his family, his nation, and for generations to come. Through an abiding faith and obedience in God, Joseph's epic detour, which God had intended for his good, and the saving of many lives, had successfully been navigated. through this detour, God's intended destiny for Joseph was fulfilled. Again, as we go through our trials, our challenges, God has an end game for us. In the New Testament, we witness an amazing and dramatic life detour. The individual was Saul of Tarsus. Born to Jewish parents, he had the privilege of being a Roman citizen. Saul, his family moved to Jerusalem. Saul lived a privileged life where he began an in-depth study of the law with the famous Pharisee Gamaliel. His life was destined for greatness. As a member of the Pharisaical sect, Saul departed from Jerusalem en route to the ancient city of Damascus, armed with arrest warrants, breathing out murderous threats and havoc and persecution against a heretical sect of the Jews known as Christians or the Way. On his journey to Damascus, God miraculously intervened, and he would dramatically detour Saul's life. As he drew near the city, a light brighter than the noonday sun suddenly engulfed him. Saul was blinded and struck down. The voice of Jesus Christ inquired, "Saul, Saul, why do you continue to persecute me?" Taken to Damascus for 3 agonizing days, he fasted and prayed. Finally, Ananias, a messenger selected by God, arrived. He restored Saul's sight and commanded him to rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of Jesus Christ. Renamed Paul, his life would dramatically be rerouted on a new journey, a new destiny, that of becoming a chosen vessel of mine, God says, to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. That's in Acts 9, 15, verse 15 and 16. Again, these stories should reassure and strengthen our resolve as we go through our various detours in life. And like I said, we have many sore trials in this life. As we have seen throughout the Bible, there have been many examples of life's detours experienced by our spiritual ancestors during their journeys towards the kingdom of God. You know, many times their detours in life were not pleasant. As we read in Hebrews 11, 35 through 38, they were not by any means pleasant. Where it states, Hebrews 11, 35, 38, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, of chains and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawed in two. They were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. Yet God brought them all successfully through it. And through that, he produced a positive and desired outcome of their journey towards the kingdom of God. Yeah. Our lives, the lives of our spiritual ancestors are very arduous, yet God says he won't leave nor forsake us, no matter what we are faced with in this life. He will be with us every step of the way. As I said, you and I are going to experience sore trials and detours as we journey through our life. It's vital that we understand that God will not give us a detour that's too difficult to travel. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. God is very merciful to us. No temptation has overtaken you except as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, he will also make a way of escape. He will provide a detour that you may be able to bear it. As we experience trials and detours in our lives, what lessons or principles can we learn? One, man proposes, but God disposes. Man proposes, but God disposes. In other words, human beings have an expectation in their life, how their lives are going to be played out. We see that in Proverbs 16:9, where it states, in his heart, a man plans his course. He has certain expectations of how it's going to go. However, circumstances many times alters our life. It takes a different path or course from what we had intended. And when we do find ourselves confronted with a major detour on our journey, those who faithfully trust God, it states in the latter part of Proverbs 16:9 with another truism, but God orders his footsteps. God directs his path. We must look to God to guide and direct us. Even when that path, his detour, doesn't seem to be going in the right direction, we must trust him, recognizing that God sees the big picture. He knows the best path to travel, even if it isn't the easiest. He is supremely capable of getting us back on track to our ultimate destination. You know, it's interesting. Today, countless people rely on GPS technology to guide and direct them to their destination, to do it successfully. How much more should we unequivocally rely on God and his word as our spiritual GPS to successfully guide and direct our path with every detour we encounter as we go on our life's journey? Another lesson we can learn is we need to trust the signs. Trust the signs. Have you ever traveled a road, saw the detour sign, then decide to ignore the instructions of the detour? We convince ourselves, yeah, we can make it through on this route and avoid having to take that detour. So we continue driving down the road, trying to find a way around the roadblock. More times than not, I know that's my story. More times than not, we end up turning around, heading back to the original location of the detour. Only after much time and much effort is expended, we end up driving the recommended detoured route. Many times in life, God sees us traveling on a path that is not good for us, a path that will not take us to our intended destination, the kingdom of God. As we travel through life, we need to believe the signs and instructions we are given, both the physical signs and spiritual. For our good, God provides helpful instructions to direct us and detour us away from the trouble in hope that we will avoid life's major roadblocks. We see that in Proverbs 4, verses 14 and 15. Proverbs 4, verses 14 and 15. In this scripture, it tells us to avoid the way of temptation or the roadblock of temptation. Proverbs 4, starting in verse 14, do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Likewise, Isaiah 30, verse 21. Isaiah 30, verse 21 states, and this is in today's English version, this is the way. Walk in it. If you wander off the road to the right or to the left, you will hear a voice behind you saying, here is the road. Follow it. That's God's Holy Spirit leading and guiding. Conversely, God's word shows us that when we heed God's signs and instructions dealing with the appropriate path to travel, it leads to a successful completion of our journey, ending with eternal life. We read that in Psalms 16, verse 11. Psalms 16, verse 11. Reading from the New International Version. You have made known to me the path of life. And because of that, you will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. It's imperative that we follow and rely on God's word as we journey through life. That's our spiritual GPS. 2 Timothy 3:16, you don't need to turn there. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and makes us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us what to do what is right. It teaches us to do what is right. Again, we won't turn there, but King David understood this principle and relied wholeheartedly upon God's direction in his life. As we read in Psalm 32, verses 7 and 8, Psalm 32, verses 7 and 8, reading from the Living Bible. You are my hiding place from every storm. You even keep me from getting into trouble. You surround me with songs of victory. I will instruct you, says the Lord, and guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch your progress. God is there every step of the way. He won't let us falter. Again, Job understood this very same thing, this God's purpose and direction in our life. Job 23, verses 10 through 12. Job 23, verses 10 through 12, reading from today's English version. Job said, yet God knows every step I take. If he tests me, he will find me pure. I will follow faithfully the road he chooses. and never wander to either side. I always do what God commands. I will follow his will and not my own desires. Again, by heeding and yielding to God's road signs and instructions, we can avoid those spiritual roadblocks and we'll arrive at our destination spiritually intact. Finally, I'd like to offer one more example of a detour. It is a detour most vital and consequential in the history of mankind. In the very beginning, before all else existed, there were two awesome and glorious living beings composed of spirit. They possessed supreme mind, intelligence, and power. They were a perfect, righteous character. They were God and the Word. Their way of life produced perfect peace, cooperation, happiness, accomplishment. They were in total agreement and cooperation. And God had planned to reproduce himself through human beings created in his image and likeness for the purpose of growing a family. The Genesis story chronicles how sin entered into the human experience, and it detoured mankind's destination in a very bad way due to the cunning deception of Satan, the adversary. And due to that sin, God would need to provide an incredible detour in order to rescue and redeem humanity, redeem us all, that we might be able to enter into his family. The Word would willingly divest himself of his inherent glory and would become Emmanuel, God in the flesh. Jesus would come down to earth and offer himself as a perfect sacrifice for a world held in captive. And he went through an excruciating death. Jesus Christ earnestly prayed to his Father, "If there is any way to circumvent my passion, my sacrifice, please take this cup of suffering, this detour away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." There was great purpose in that momentous detour. The Father would willingly offer his beloved Son for a perfect sacrifice. Jesus Christ would willingly sacrifice himself for the purpose of rescuing and redeeming a captive humanity. The risen Christ would then take his place at the right hand of God the Father, and as a result of this incredible detour, he would become a compassionate and effective intercessor and high priest for all of us who are called by God at this time, and for those that will be called. As we conclude today, all of us will experience trials and detours in our lives. It is imperative that we explicitly trust God and his Word to direct our steps. Doing so, he will guide us successfully to our journey's end, our eternal destination, the kingdom of God. We'll turn to one final scripture, and that's what I referenced earlier, Romans 8, verses 28 and 29. New Living Translation, Romans 28, 29. This is something we need to always remember when we're going through trials and things look very bleak. We need to always remember this scripture. Romans 8, verses 28 and 29. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good. For those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Brethren, let's count it all joy when we fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of our faith produces patience. But let the patience have its perfect work, that we may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing as we travel through life's detours.